Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our bracket rundown podcast, recording live on tape delay here around 10, a little after 10 o'clock Eastern on Thursday, February 4th. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up top here by the puppet David Griggs, by Rocco Miller from bracketeer.org. Down below, we've got Joby Fortson and John Tytel back with us, a full panel of college hoops experts and a puppet here today.
Well, wait, I'm an expert. I'm an expert
in something, maybe, but
I don't know. I've been drinking all day, so
thus an expert of knowing the contents of Jack Daniels.
Okay, so I'm drunk and I'm an expert. What's the difference?
This is our bracket rundown show. What we've done, we're switching the format up a little bit from what we've done in prior weeks. If you've been following us this so far this season, what I did is I asked each of us, including myself, so all five of us, went ahead and submitted a 1 through 55 seed list. That is, you rank the top 55 of the teams of the nation, regardless of conference, which would cover everybody that would make the NCAA tournament as an at-large bid, and probably, for most of us, between 4 to 6 extra teams beyond that, to give us a good, fair representation of everybody. I then took those and cross-country scored them against each other and came up with a master seed list based on that, went ahead and bracketed it up, and also gave us a, you know, the... I think it ended up being 10 teams that did not, that were got votes, but did not quite make the field. And I also went ahead and added in all the single bid conferences, you know, the bottom of the bracket as well. But what we're going to do is kind of do it similar to the way they do on Selection Sunday on TV and do a little bracket reveal. So
yeah, just a couple of quick things here for the audience. We do not know what the bracket, well, chat does, he built it, but the rest of us, we're seeing it as you're seeing it. So, you know, we don't know the results. And anyway, I just wanted to make that point, and I'll let you get in the terms here, Chad, well, because
we're and be Chad, I want to say also one other thing that the audience,
I really just wanted to interrupt Chad,
is that we submit these at 7 p.m. thus before the games tonight,
right?
Which is important because Ohio State has beaten Iowa in that interim. I don't know, like David said, I don't know how our bracket will look, but all of a sudden, I know that I'd be putting Ohio State as my fourth one right now.
Right, right. Ohio State's win over Iowa was not factored into these. Also not factored in the games that are going on as we record this, which include Gonzaga in a battle at halftime in the Pacific, the big Minnesota-Rutgers game. Oregon's going to be playing there tonight. A couple other teams that we'll probably talk about tonight are playing as well. I see that Stanford's up big at half.
Colorado State in. Sweating out Front Range rival Wyoming right now.
But by the time you all watch this, you'll know the finals of the scores. Those were not factored in here. Everything else before that was factored in. And what I'm going to do is reveal the first 16 teams in order so we can discuss each of these 16 teams one at a time. And then we'll
What are these first 16 teams, Jed? What would we call them?
College basketball teams.
Well, okay, but like, if for the sake of the bracket, I know
we call them protected seeds. If you're the top 16 teams, we call you something we call a first ballot team. If you're in the top 32 teams, just one through eight seed. Beyond that, you look at bubble teams and below the bubble.
Right. And yeah, what that is, a protected seed is really just, well, what it really practically means is that you're playing a team that's not inside the bubble in the round of 64. I guess what it technically means is that you are protected from being at a home court disadvantage for the round of 64.
Inapplicable this year, David. Let's move on.
Which is inapplicable this year since it's all in Indianapolis. A first ballot team, the first thing that the committee does on the first night is vote for who they think should be in the tournament, regardless of what happens the rest of the way or they're in their conference tournament. There's 10 members on the committee. Anybody that gets 8 votes is in the tournament. That's a first ballot team. It normally comes out to, like you said, the first 7 or 8 seed lines.
Yep, exactly. And let's go ahead and I want to start with the number. We're going to start with the number one team overall. And this was very close. It was 3 of us had one team number one. 2 of us had another team number one. We know what the 2 teams are, obviously.
Yeah.
By a very narrow 3-2 margin, Baylor, for the first time this season,
wow,
has become our number one.
That's my number one team. All right. And let's discuss them, Chad. And we all know who the second number one seed is. So let's look at them let's look at them side by side.
Let's go ahead. It's no surprise Gonzaga number 2 overall, and I'm going to pull them up here. Tytel, let me start with you. Baylor or Gonzaga? No, again, we don't have a Gonzaga result for tonight. That would make it a very easy discussion if they lose specific. But Is there a reason why you voted one team over the other?
Not really. All the metrics, all the numbers, all the wins, like, I think it's a coin flip. I think a month ago it was Gonzaga by a lot, but the reason that one team is in one of the hardest conferences in the country and one is not explains how team on the left gets building and building. Look at all the January wins in Tier 1 for them. Not a lot of January Tier 1 wins for Gonzaga.
Well, I guess on the other side, Rocco, Gonzaga's going to have the next chance for a big win. Baylor's just, their next two games have just been put off, which means that Gonzaga's game at BYU coming up on the 8th, assuming they get through tonight's game and the Santa Clara game, give them a chance to build a resume a little more this time around.
Yeah, I think that could potentially settle the score. At this point, as John mentioned, Baylor's basically one ahead if you just look at Q1, 6-5. But the thing I also like about Baylor a little bit more at this point, and not to Gonzaga's fault, they both won all of their games, but
yeah.
Baylor's actually done it in other teams' arenas, whereas Gonzaga's only done that once so far, twice if they pull it out tonight. And not just any team's arenas. Baylor's done it at Texas and Texas Tech and Oklahoma State, whereas Gonzaga, they scheduled all the best teams they could on neutral sites. It's a little more weight on the true road win, at least as far as we know.
Yeah, Rocco, that was the tipping point for me. And I have had Gonzaga ahead of Baylor all year long until today. And the tipping point for me was exactly what you said. The true road wins at Texas Tech, at Texas, at Oklahoma State, another really good team at home that they went in and beat. And I'm becoming slightly less enamored with, and again, not Gonzaga's fault at all, when right. Gonzaga beat Iowa. Iowa was ranked fourth. When Gonzaga beat Kansas, I want to say they were ranked third. Virginia ranked really high when Gonzaga beat them. West Virginia was in the top 10 when Gonzaga beat them. But these right. teams, with the exception of maybe West Virginia, have not kept those rankings or not looked as good. I know Iowa's still ranked high, but I'm just not as impressed with them as I am with the teams that Baylor's beaten. And Baylor's beaten them on the road, not on neutral floor games. Now, Gonzaga still – really, really good.
Well, yeah, I guess at the end of the yeah. day, though, especially with the tournament title playing in Indianapolis, there's very little that you lose by being number two versus number one overall here. Both teams are going to have the easiest possible paths to the Final Four. I'll say it that way compared yeah. to everybody else. But and there's no question here. Sometimes you have a question if you have 2-1 seeds for the same region, who would get the preference for a regional site or the like?
Right.
What if Baylor wants to play in West Lafayette instead of yeah. IUP?
None of that will be determined. My understanding is that stuff may not even be determined by the selection committee. It may be determined afterwards once we get teams there. So
that's what I've heard too. Now, in normal circumstances, like Baylor would be in the South, where you have them, but they would be playing not in Indianapolis, but presumably somewhere in the South.
Well, Joby, number three overall, not a surprise. Michigan, their pause has been extended another week still, but not playing, but moving up because of not playing, maybe at this point.
Well, when you look at Nova, who has created an open number four question, I don't know who that team will be. But the fact is, Michigan's earned it, though. It's not a case where I look at them like we might be talking, for instance, St. Bonaventure later. It's like, gosh, guys, play some games. St. Louis, you got to play some games so that we can evaluate your resume. Michigan has played those games. They have those road wins at Purdue and Maryland solid. Their only loss was just a buzzsaw Minnesota team. And they have established themselves as the top team clearly for now. I mean, Ohio State's coming up, obviously, but for now has established themselves the top team in one of the top conferences and with a gaudy record. Livers has played outstanding. Michigan is, in my mind, even with the pause, even with some games off, clearly number three, as in definitely not one or two, definitely not four. It was an easy call, as you
said. Yeah, yeah. Illinois game, that's the just highlight there. That's the game that just got postponed also. The next possible game is going to be February 14th at Wisconsin for Michigan at this
point. You don't get many easy tough. Breaks in the Big Ten. And I think their Nebraska game might have been canceled, right? So the one break they had was...
The next debate, I mean, if this was going into yesterday, I think it would have been very clearly that Villanova would have been here on the one line. They lose St. John's. Then, you start thinking about Houston, who had that great overall record, a crazy loss at East Carolina that I haven't figured out yet.
Yeah.
As a result, let's see who the fourth number one seed, John, let me bring you back in here. See if you agree with this or not.
Yes!
Ohio State.
Good job, committee. All right.
Ohio State, even before the win today, was on the one line here.
Certainly a good argument, especially because all the other teams like Houston and Alabama and Texas have all been losing. I feel much better about them, as Joby said, at right now than I did 2 hours ago. I think that's okay.
Yeah, I actually pull them up, Chad.
I'm gonna pull it for a second here, David.
Because I actually had them one spot higher than this.
With the Iowa win tonight, especially added in there, you now have four Tier 1A road wins, and that is as good as anything you'll see out there by anybody. It might be the best nation in terms of Tier 1A.
I don't know what those teams' combined record at home is, Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Rutgers, but it's got to be incredible. And Ohio State might have 80%, like, those, they might be like 150-6 at home, and 4 of the 6 wins by Ohio State. That is just outstanding. That's what got them up there. I know that they have the losses at Purdue and Minnesota, but those 4 wins, and well, 4 now, really incredible. They belong on the one line, in my opinion.
All right. Let's move down to the 2 line now on the bottom section of the screen there. We'll start with the number 5 overall team. Also in the East region there with Ohio State. We got Villanova, despite the loss, did hang on to number 5 here. Rocco was almost by a default. Everyone loses, you know, you kind of stay very close to where you'd been, I think.
Yeah, I didn't have them 5th. I've got them 6th, but okay. I think, you know, Villanova is an interesting case, right? You have a team that's been through a shutdown. They have less games than most of the teams you're comparing them to. And so I think you can build a strong case for them to be where they are. They're obviously a very good team. They're 2 losses last night on the road at St. John's, a tough overtime loss to VTech, and they've looked amazing in all their wins for the most part. So you can make a case, I think, just because the limited data that we have to look at. But I do think there's another team that might have a little bit more earned clout. I don't know if I'm allowed to say their name.
Go ahead. Well, who's team?
I would put Alabama above them at this point. They have 14.
Really? Alabama, bro.
Yeah, I mean, they have 14 wins in the top 3 quadrants. That's more than anybody. And they also, I know that their top end wins, their only 2 big ones on the road are Tennessee and LSU. But I think it's just the amount of wins that they've amassed already. They're kind of already, you know, if you think about a golf analogy, they're already kind of a leader in the clubhouse with all these wins they've accumulated, and they've really played no meaningless games. They've all their games have meant something. So I'm impressed by that.
And I want to call you out on Alabama, because I will reveal as we go through here some of what this the actual ballots were. David, you had Alabama down in the 3 line, and can you explain why you had them below number 9 or number 10 overall? When you did it.
Well, okay. Yes, I had been drinking, but I think part of it is in looking at them. When you count up the number of Tier 1 wins, that is certainly 2 seedish. And it's not like I had them on a 5 or a 6 line. I mean, I had them close, but I haven't been as impressed with Tennessee. The Florida win at home came at a time when Florida was struggling. I don't think Arkansas or LSU were particularly good. So peeling back the onion and comparing it to Villanova, while there aren't as many up there, at Texas I like more than at Tennessee, and at Seton Hall I really like more than anything
I'll
else
give there. You the Villanova, but you put teams below that, you put teams I haven't even discussed yet above Alabama as well. I'll go back right here. Alabama is number 6 overall. I don't think that's a shock. It's a very close call, I think, here.
Yeah, and it's not that I don't like, I mean, is there really that big of a drastic difference between 6th and 9th? I mean, it's not that I don't like Alabama. It's that I just didn't think they topped out quite as high as some of the teams I had ahead of them. So but a fair question. But I mean, again, I don't ever hold it against all of you for being wrong.
Joby, we have Texas coming in at number 7. It's also on the 2 line here. A team that David thinks is better than is.
Well, they are better.
I had Alabama ahead of Texas. Yeah, yeah. I had Alabama, and I would change it after tonight. I had Alabama actually on the 1 line, but and I will put in a plug. Alabama played a tough The only reason we're dinging Alabama is because of the recent loss to Oklahoma, which was just a great game on the road. And I think Oklahoma's a protected seed level. So I don't have a problem with that. Texas, love it. That, I mean, you know, the only out of conference loss early was Villanova, a team we already have in. Look at that. These are teams we already have in or coming up real soon. Beautiful resume. Love Texas. I don't really have a big problem. Like I said, it's the fourth number one where it's a really tough call. Texas is deserving, along with Alabama, along with Villanova, and most certainly Ohio State, of being in that conversation. You have good, solid road wins. The losses are completely understandable, and they will continue to build. Some of these teams will build even further. I think North Carolina is going to go up that seed line as time goes on. Oklahoma State, I think, will steady the ship after this week. This is a good, you know, this is a very solid team that's really, really tough to stop from the outside. If they're hitting from the outside, it's fun to watch these guys, plain and simple.
John, I think the problem with Texas is they just got to stop playing home games. Right?
Get health. I think they've had some health problems, but I also look at the schedule here. Alabama does not have a single top 25 game left on their schedule. Four of Texas's final five are top 25 teams. There's plenty of reason for them to go up or down.
Well, I think that at Missouri game coming up for Alabama is pretty much the top 25. But beyond that, I agree with you. There's nothing else really significant left there. There's really a game in Arkansas is the only other team that I think we'll mention tonight that's on that schedule. So it's,
right.
Rocco, number eight overall, team that you had a little bit higher than eight even was Houston after the loss
still
last night. I guess the question is, how bad do you ding a team for an absolutely horrible loss to East Carolina?
That's what it comes down to. And, you know, the team I had next, they just stood out a little bit. You know, it's tough. The metrics you kind of need to lean on a little bit. Houston's playing in a league where they might be the only tournament team. And so, you know, what do you do out of the conference? They crushed Texas Tech. They beat Boise. Okay, those are two good teams. Obviously, they laid an egg on the road. They lost by, you know, a last second foul at Tulsa. But for all intents and purposes, the net is fifth and everything else is great. So, you know, I think they still deserve a two seed just because you can find a couple of teams next to them or right below them that have flaws that are more clear.
Hey, Chuck, can we pull them up?
But it's hard to defend right now, you know, because they just lost that game last night.
Well, apparently I had them down a little bit. I forget if it was the three or four line. And yeah, I love the win against Texas Tech. And I actually think the win at SMU is, even though SMU probably not inside the bubble, to win on the road there is still pretty good. But I just think that, like, now they have not one but two losses to teams. Mm-hmm. Tulsa might be an NIT team, maybe, but – do you put a team on one of the top two lines with not one but two losses to teams that are outside the NIT range? And I just can't – I'm not saying it's never happened, but that's got to be a rare thing. I know you study the history and tendency of the bracket more than I do, Rocco, but is that
a – I think it's going to be really tough to do if they don't stay in the top five in net, but being five net and some good wins like that, I think that's a good combo. But that's part of the reason why I'm keeping them there for now.
Yeah.
But if East Carolina, to slip, it's different.
East Carolina is only a tier two loss because they beat Houston. As time goes on,
you're right. You're right.
I think East Carolina will fade to a tier three.
Okay, let me qualify a few things. First of all, East Carolina at 133, the cutoff is 135. So one more game will probably drop East Carolina to tier three. David, I pulled up Texas Tech. You just mentioned how you do like Houston's win over Texas Tech. Can you explain why you thought Texas Tech was a two seed then and Houston a three or four, wherever you had them? Because you had Texas Tech rated above Houston.
Yeah, of course I did. Well, okay. I know that Houston beat Texas Tech, but like when you look at the whole body of work, I mean, eventually, like, I just think that they're far enough ahead to where the head-to-head loss doesn't just jump Houston over them. They've won at Texas. They've won at Oklahoma, who is on a rampage right now, beat them twice.
They beat them in December when they were not on a rampage, okay?
Yeah, but they've beaten them twice. I mean,
okay. the win this week, yes, I'll give you that.
Yeah, and then like you know, LSU not a bad win, and then when you look at the losses, you have Baylor one line, Houston protected seed, West Virginia protected seed, Kansas probably protected seed, and the Pokes. And when you put that next to Houston's losses, you have sub NIT teams, two of them. So that is when I look at all that put together. Even though Houston did beat Texas Tech, there's just way more there on the profile. I mean, if Pacific beats Gonzaga tonight, I'm not going to be like, well, I guess we move the, you know, Pacific up ahead of Gonzaga.
Well, John, let me ask you this. Is there any merit to this argument that Texas Tech is better than Houston that David just
Yes, I just made it. It is
I didn't ask you.
Argument.
So as to not incur the puppet's wrath, I'll go with yes. And there's a couple metrics to look at. So if you look at how they do against the board, Houston's only played a couple and won them both. Texas Tech is only 500, but they've played like half their schedule against the board with plenty of board remaining, which is to say Houston has to go perfect to stay here. I think they will, but I also thought they'd beat East Carolina, so what do I know? Texas Tech, if they lose at Baylor, who cares? You're supposed to lose at Baylor. If you pick up a Tier 1 win, there's plenty left to do so. Additionally, conference record. I don't know how you guys or the selection committee feels about teams with a 500 or worse conference record. Houston is going to be like well above that, obviously, because they're in a worse conference. Texas Tech might end up like something like 8-10 in conference. I don't know how the committee's going to feel about that.
They're not supposed to care, but they can if they want.
They can do what they like. They're the committee.
I think it's no
not on the team sheet.
It's no surprise that they're coming in the Midwest region because of some bracketing rules instead of in the South. But Texas Tech is the number nine, ended up as the number nine.
Yeah, and I see you got them going to Indianapolis, Chad.
Yes, they are for some reason. Coming in at number 10 overall, we had Missouri, and we just mentioned this Missouri team. I think that's probably where they belong right now, but does anyone want to make the case that is way too high for them?
I love their resume, Chad. Yeah. I thought I was going to be the highest one on them. I feel like every bracket exercise, I'm one of the highest Missouri people. But yeah, I think I do actually have a team a little higher than Missouri. Okay.
It might be the next team up. We'll see. Yeah. But we got Missouri there.
If they're on the same seed line, it's really not a big difference.
Right. That 12-3 overall record with those four Tier 1 wins, and
just the poor.
Only one baddish loss, the Mississippi State loss. Let's go take a look at the number 11 team overall. Joby, this is a team that you had a lot higher than the number 11 overall, and it's the Sooners.
Yeah, Oklahoma.
Oh, I love this team.
Well, and remember, I had Alabama before the Ohio State, and I totally get Ohio State, especially after tonight. Remember, I had Alabama on the one side. So I'm trying. So the consistency is, okay, if I think so highly of this Alabama team, who can beat this Alabama team? Well, the answer is this Oklahoma Sooners team. So there's a little bit of a transitive property here. But then go beyond that. They went into Texas, got that road win that's so key. TCU proved last night that they can go out and beat a very solid team. So sweeping them is solid. But Kansas, West Virginia, Alabama, love it. And there is nothing wrong on the other side. I mean, are you really going to punish people for losing in Waco, in Lubbock? And I agree that Texas Tech is deserving to be discussed. Kansas before the fall, and we'll have Xavier in this field. So I'm really high on the way Oklahoma is playing. They look good. And they remember they beat Alabama without one of their best players. Reeves wasn't playing, you know? So I think that Oklahoma can only just go up and up. This is a protected seed team. I'm fine with them being here. It gets really tough to divide up, but they were on the top of this group of teams we're discussing for me, given how strong that they've been playing lately and a very, very good resume that's tough to argue against.
And you see how much Big 12 is coming in here. We just saw Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri. Oh, no, never mind. Rocco, to finish out the three line here, we have this Illinois team. And let me go to Titel, and I want to talk to Titel, and I want to talk to David about this, because this is a team that there has been a lot of debate over the course of our shows here. Illinois is coming in here. And let's pull up the profile. John, let me start with you, though. This profile here, a lot of wins, But I think there's an argument here that those tier one road wins are not really that great of tier one road wins. So that's the issue, I think, with
even at the rack, what are you talking about, man? You have to factor in a couple of things there. One, their top three losses are against teams you've already put in the field.
So absolutely agree with that.
Amazing schedule. And the fact that they got tons of tier one wins. I think that this is a perfect place to put them. I know you all are want to put them down a little, which is fine. And quickly, a note on Oklahoma. If you look at the bottom of their schedule there on the right, back-to-back Bedlam is going to be bananas.
Wow. Yeah.
Have fans there. I don't know if they will.
It'll be fun. A lot of fun.
David, you want to rip this Illinois pick? I'll give you about 10 seconds on it.
Well, yeah, there's just compared. Okay, look at like Oklahoma, who just went in ahead of them. It just isn't even close.
I think it is close.
Duke, and they won at Penn David, State, who's maybe in the field, and like
you 10 seconds. I don't know. David.
Maybe Penn State is nowhere near this damn field.
David, well, okay, so let's put Illinois on the three. Thank you for furthering my point.
Yeah, David, though, I'm gonna say here, if you want to compare Oklahoma and Illinois. Yeah, look, they have this. Illinois has one more tier one win, not as good of tier one wins, but one more of them. They both have the same amount of losses, and the Maryland home loss is almost a tier one road.
Tier one doesn't necessarily always mean, look at tier two. Look at what
Illinois did against that next group of teams that are either bubble-ish teams or a little bit off of the bubble. Four wins against that. Oklahoma won. I guess
Oklahoma was just too busy playing tier one teams.
No, they were too busy paying. I'm sorry, they were too busy playing Oral Roberts, Texas, San Antonio, Florida A&M, and Houston Baptist.
And they smoked them. I mean, look at what they've done against the top.
Yeah, Illinois, they had to really sweat out Chicago State.
So. Yeah, well, they won. Yeah. Rocco, let's jump over to the four line here, and we start with the Iowa team that. This was before they even lost this Ohio State team game, and a team that's heading the wrong direction, I think, right now, because I don't think they can play defense.
They've been heading in that direction.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we've been talking about Iowa's defensive flaws since the offseason. We knew that coming into the year that Garza can't defend, and you trade the really awesome offense for the poor defense. It's just a gamble that you take. But yeah, there's going to be a ceiling for them, unfortunately, when it comes down to participating in the tournament, and I think it's starting to hamper their resume. Their only significant road win was there at the rack, Chad. But based on the teams that have already been selected, I think Iowa belongs. There's a mystifying team on the three seed line for me, but I would have Iowa over them. But
team was that?
Yeah, I have Oklahoma quite a bit lower than 11. So I would have Iowa still ahead of them for now.
But I'll admit, right, it's just part of it is empty. A recency bias, but God, yeah. This team is on fire.
Oklahoma.
Well, I like Oklahoma's resume period better than Iowa's. Just flat out simple. The Alabama win means a lot. And Rocco, remember you had Alabama pretty high, so I know it's.
I did.
If you won road wins, we got Texas, which has already been this field. So you know, and they're recent wins too. You're right.
I just think that some of the metrics and stuff, Iowa's going to blow away the committee more. But again, I'm more guessing the committee on that stuff. And I think also the meat on the bones a little bit thicker, even for Iowa. I think you guys were comparing Oklahoma and Illinois just a minute ago. Illinois' bone is even thicker than Iowa's. When you start looking at Q2 and Q3, now Oklahoma's going to have their chances to do that. And every time Oklahoma gets one of these big wins, it's just going to get more and more impressive. So their ceiling might be higher. Yeah. And they've already got some good ones in the boat already, like you've mentioned.
Metrics, though, and you go over to KenPom and you see a very solid 29 offensive adjusted and 25 defense. Then you look at, hey, the great, I was 117. That's poor. And we can talk about the trade-offs all you want, but I think they are in trouble. They are in trouble because I'm gonna call out, and you guys know that where I'm going because I emailed this pre-show. But I think McCaffrey has done a disservice to Garza. I think his defense could be better. It could be a lot better, except for some reason that he's been taught to lead with his chest into people, which doesn't allow for you to avoid a foul. He will foul out and they will lose a game in the NCAA tournament.
Well, it's hurt them. Like, you know, when you watch them play, like at pivotal moments when they need a stop, they can't get it.
Well, and Arms tonight for Ohio State, just to follow on that, Arms tonight, he hits this three, and then they got, you know, all the announcers, well, you better get on Arms. He's left open for two consecutive possessions. Like, are you waking up to what's going on, and you're helping out inside to a guy who averages 7 points a game?
Okay. Let's keep moving on here. Let's roll on to number 14 overall. Over there on the right in the East region, Joby, that there is Virginia coming in here on the four line. I think that we all were kind of right around here with this team at this point, the way they're playing right now.
Yeah. And they lost the game at Virginia Tech, and that should be concerning of how they lost it.
They struggled mightily in their last game.
They were
NC State, right?
No, they didn't. It was a grinder that you never thought Virginia was going to lose. It was the typical Virginia. It's the sort of game that they won during the national title year, for goodness sakes. It was a grinder that I don't think they were behind at any point. Like, you know, they were constantly up by 4-7 the whole time. So I'm not, that game's not, but Virginia Tech is, because the offense that has been very superior to years past, all of a sudden, maybe when there's pressure put on it, such as the Gonzaga game, such as the Virginia Tech game, this team, despite the explosive offense from threes, if all of a sudden they get down, it seems like they force shots a little bit. And when they start to force shots, that's a problem, because this team defensively, while still elite, is not the best in the country. It's merely top 20 good, for best in the country defense, top 10 good.
Okay. Number 15 overall, we have Wisconsin in there, Rocco. Do you like that pick there, getting them in the protected seeds?
Yeah. I think I had them 13, so this is good for me.
Yeah.
I actually want to go to the number 16 team overall, and Tytel, I want to bring you back in on this here. We came in at number 16 on the consensus bracket as another ACC team, not Florida State, Virginia Tech coming in there, and you did not have them anywhere near a protected seed, so... is there a reason why you don't like this team that, the rest of us that voted them higher got wrong? I'll pull their profile up for you.
Sure. I mean, I don't like the two tier two losses. I think that most of the teams we have been so far do not have that for the most part. Certainly anybody who can beat Jay Wright and Tony Bennett in the same decade, much less the same 3 month span, deserves a lot of credit. The at Notre Dame loss, I wouldn't be shocked if that drops to tier two. Any other year you beat Duke should be good. This is not the year for that. I'll stop there.
I'll give you another team here that I think you did have up higher, which is Tennessee. And that's when you look at this, Virginia Tech, you beat Virginia and Villanova. Tennessee doesn't have that type of win at the top of the profile. So,
but they don't have the two tier two losses. I mean, I think I can. No. I don't think that Virginia Tech should be like a 9 seed. But I think that Tennessee has done enough and not had any bad to warrant them being higher.
I will say, I might have argued with you, John, a few days ago, but that Ole Miss loss, Ole Miss would lose on a neutral court to both Penn State and Pitt. I am very confident when I say that. Ole Miss, that's a bad loss. Once again, Ole Miss
is two on the road, but yes.
No, on the road, not on the road, before zero people, I'm not like, I'm not.
It would have been zero people.
There were some assistant ADs.
I'll tell you, I'm going to call myself out a little bit here because we have Tennessee on the screen. We haven't put them in the bracket quite yet, but I actually had them, I believe, on the sixth line.
I am
not a fan of this Tennessee profile. When you dig a little deeper into it, that Missouri win, very good win, great win. Colorado is a bubble-ish type of team. They've had some losses. Kansas has been playing like garbage when Tennessee beat them. Absolute garbage. I think anybody would have beaten Kansas last weekend. Arkansas, okay. It's an okay win, but it was at home. And the next best win is what? Mississippi State and Cincinnati at home. There's nothing in tier two.
And look at
FOTEC. You have a pile of tier two wins at FOTEC at least.
And they got curb stomped in Gainesville. They got curb stomped. Yeah,
they got curb stomped at Gainesville. They didn't look good in the second game with Missouri. So hey,
and not to kill them. Well, I actually think Tennessee. This is about when we should be talking about Tennessee after saying all the negative stuff I've had, because I do like that Missouri win. I do like a lot of those.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rocco, mm-hmm. before we go on to the five line here, is there anybody that you think we, other than maybe Tennessee, that we completely missed among the top 16 teams here?
I'm 100% with Tytel on Tennessee. I have them 15th, and I think it's four wins over the field versus Virginia Tech's two. I think it's the metrics are much better for Tennessee so far. Again, just taking a stab at what they're probably looking at. And then I had, I believe, West Virginia 16, but man, that was a coin toss with Florida State. So I'm pretty, you know, I was looking at that for a long time. So
I do not think Arkansas should be in this field. I'll just leave.
We'll get to Arkansas much later in the show. Arkansas has done nothing. I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to reveal the entire five line now, not just
now that we're done with the projected seeds.
Yeah, and we've mentioned Tennessee. They are in there. West Virginia and Florida State.
I like that line.
And we throw in Kansas. I mean, they got to be somewhere. They have some very good wins, no matter how good they're playing.
Iowa and Tennessee, that would be the round of 32 matchup between two overseeded teams. But I like the line.
And one of them plays defense. So
if Tennessee probably wins that one.
You do see a potential second round game there between Virginia and Florida State that is allowed under the bracketing rules unless they meet in the ACC tournament, because right now they only have one game head to head.
Well, you could flip them with Kansas and avoid the matchup between Virginia and Florida State.
And then this is the problem with bracketing and why they don't really look at that. But let's just jump right on ahead to the sixth line here. And there is a team I want to do a little discussion about, but let me start with you as we pull up the teams here. We have Creighton, Oklahoma State, UCLA, and Purdue coming down the sixth line. What are your thoughts on us giving those four teams six seeds?
The shaky line in terms of, I think that there's merit to put them all here, which is why I think I had a lot of them here. But Cade Cunningham looks like he is capable of winning a tournament game on his own. Creighton seems very sketchy, especially against Georgetown. UCLA has been okay. I still don't know about Purdue and Indianapolis. I assume it has no effect, but if I was Oklahoma, I wouldn't love the fact that I got to play Purdue and Indianapolis.
No, and Rocco, I want to discuss Creighton a little bit here, because you were with me. You had them lower than this even, and I'm with you on that. Despite that number 15 national ranking, look at those three tier three home losses. That's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, talk about a team that needs some fans in the building, huh? losing to those three teams in your backyard is not good. And it's tough. You know, they've got some decent wins, like the win at UConn, the win at Seton Hall stand out, but they're not top end wins. These are not teams, as Joby would say, wearing white type of wins. So maybe Xavier wears white if they're lucky, but
probably not.
But yeah, so I think Creighton's just got a big mix of good and bad, and then from there you're just comparing them against other teams, and I just think a team like a USC or a team like even a UCLA is better than this right now. Joby,
I love I like this UCLA team.
Joby, what do you think about the rest of this line? Are you with this?
I like it. To be honest, it's similar-ish. I have one team that
I know a team you have not been mentioned yet. It's an ACC team.
And I completely understand why others would not be on this team. So I don't have a fault. You know, all of those teams are around where I would have them. I like Purdue's resume. UCLA is the leader of the Pac-12, is very deserving. West Virginia's put together a solid resume. And let's talk about my team.
David, let me ask you about Joby's team there. I put Clemson up on the right against the Creighton team we were just debating. Should Clemson have gotten up higher here, especially with that Alabama win?
You could make the case for it, especially when looking at them compared to Creighton. The one thing with Clemson, and again,
UCLA up instead, then go ahead.
Yeah, we're not trying to guess the committee with this particular exercise. Maybe we should have covered that at the beginning of the show. I think the committee probably would have them up here. The reason why I personally didn't is not really even anything you see on the paper. Well, yeah, it is on the paper. It is a 26-point loss to a Duke team that I don't think we're going to put in, an 18-point loss, not just losing, but losing 26-18 to teams that are probably not in the field. And I know that they're in tier one, but you know, you have to sometimes look, are these teams actually good or not? Are we going to put these teams in the field or not? I don't think we're putting either one of them in. And within the last 10 days, Clemson has just been boat raced by multiple teams that aren't in the field.
But so in those last 10 days, they also have two wins against teams that I would argue will have in our field. If it weren't for that, I'd be with your argument 100%, but they seem to right the ship. They look great against North Carolina, a North Carolina team that before then was on a roll. They'd be a solid Louisville team that will be in our field. So
Louisville not looking good recently.
Well, Louisville's not been.
They lost to Clemson? My goodness.
I'll tell you what.
They've been on COVID pause. They don't have to play the Virginia game this weekend, which is kind of.
Let's go ahead. We're going to pull up the 7 line here. Obviously, Clemson, we just discussed them. USC has been mentioned. They came in here on the 7 line. We also got Florida and Minnesota. Rocco, this Minnesota team that is, as we record this, in a very tight game at Rutgers, has no road wins. And that's right. A problem, is it not?
Hey, I should be asking you that. You went through it last year.
And it was that's why we sweated it out until we picked up one of winning against Northwestern or something on the road late to at least get something on the resume.
Yeah, there was Purdue, I think, wasn't it? That big game where either Rutgers was going to get a road win or Purdue was going to have too many losses to get in.
Yep.
And you guys got it. But yeah, the Minnesota home wins are incredible, obviously. You got two number one seeds now sitting there as home wins. That's pretty awesome. So 7 seed sounds right because they, you know, not having a road win, if that continues on for whatever reason all the way till March, that's a major issue. But if they get this win tonight, I mean, they're probably back up to at least a 6, maybe even a 5. So that starts to solve their biggest resume issue of just getting a couple road wins, especially against a board team like Rutgers.
John, any other issues with this line here? Clemson, USC, Florida, Minnesota, you like it?
I like it only because we get all these college football matchups of Texas, USC, and Alabama, Florida.
Yeah, we'll look at those potential matchups. We also see, I just noticed that we have Houston and Baylor in the same
game. Yeah, Houston, Clemson, not a bad game. Houston,
Clemson, that's not exactly a football game. Let's go ahead and bring up the 8 line here. Which has at least one team out that we've mentioned already, Louisville, coming in there, along with Boise, Rutgers.
Xavier is in the top half of the bracket. Wow.
Barely. That was the very last spot in the top half of the bracket that Xavier got. David, you didn't have Louisville even close to this high. Do you want to justify why you had Louisville even lower than this?
Have you been watching them?
Losing to a good Clemson team? Yes.
Okay. Yeah. When the bracket populates here, first of all, tier one is noticeably empty. Lacking.
But we're on the 8 line already, David.
Okay. So. We're on the 8 line.
And there is a protected seed win there mixed in. So, you know,
there is. Well, Virginia Tech, yes, that one is good. And then Seton Hall is, I had them inside the bubble and Chad was yelling at me because I did. Pitt. I mean, that's what they've done. They have a Virginia Tech win at home, and that's really it. And while the losses aren't that bad for the most part, the Miami one was. They just looked awful in that game. And I had them in the field. It's not that I didn't have them in there at all, but I didn't have them this high.
I think you almost had them in the first four. That's how low you had them.
I don't think they would beat anyone that we've already put in. And I don't think they would beat anyone on probably the 9 line either once we see what it is.
And that's interesting. As we get to the 9, before we get to the 9 line, Rocco, any other issues with Boise, Rutgers, Xavier on this line?
I've got all those teams grouped together. I just have one team ahead of all of them, and that would be the Buffaloes. And I know you guys are going to make fun of me because
I think I had Louisville ahead of them.
Well, let's talk about them because that's a good team to bring up as we go to the 9 line.
And I'm usually the resume guy, and I feel like I'm the metrics guy today. But obviously, them being 19th in net has a lot to do with that. I think. You know, they've obviously beaten Stanford and Oregon and at USC. They're the only team that win at USC, and they did it by double digits. It's just a little bit of a balancing act, and I just think it measures up a tad bit better than like a Xavier team who hasn't done anything on the road or a Louisville team who's all over the place and a Rutgers team who's all over the place.
Hey, Rocco, are you a Washington fan?
Possibly.
Well, I'm rubbing it in. Good Lord.
I think I'm finding the thread here of why you think.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. John, you were there with Rocco on the Colorado pick. Do you think he has it right that this is a team that should be wearing white in the first round?
Close. I mean, I like USC and they beat him on the road, but I like Arizona and they couldn't beat Arizona, which is explainable, I guess, even this year. These teams are starting to not look so great. But I think that even with a bad non-conference strength of schedule, you can make the argument here for Colorado.
Yeah, the Utah game where they collapsed completely blew the lead in that game really, really hurts. I would have been completely with you here. I think I would have had them maybe a line lower. But let's go ahead and reveal the nine line now, which we'll get to see some potential first round matchups as these come up too. Louisville against BYU, Boise against the Colorado team we just mentioned, Rutgers, Oregon, and Xavier Duke. I'm sorry, Drake. I can't read today. Sorry. Xavier Drake.
Everybody was going to scream team. At the same time.
It begins with a D, it ends with a K-E, you know, it's close.
Yeah.
David, go ahead. You had a comment.
I mean, Drake is kind of hard to. How good are they really? I mean, they've won all their games. I guess it makes sense to put them here. They've cracked the rankings. They are really good. There's another team in the Valley that's also really good that I hope makes it in the field inside our bubble. Into my veins, that Xavier Drake game. God, that one would be fun. I like all those matchups. I like all those.
I like all those.
The 8-9 line, like that's good. I mean, I don't have Colorado anywhere near that high, but I think that would be a fun game to watch, Boise, Colorado.
Yeah. Joby, you like this line also?
Yeah. The Rutgers, Oregon is such a mystery team given their lack of, you know, data points, really. With a few bad losses, you know, let's pull up what they've got coming. If they don't sweep the Washington homestand, for instance, all that stuff, and they stumble, they have the potential to fall out.
They do.
On the other hand, if they do what we all thought preseason they would be able to do, you know, win that at Stanford, you know, they have the potential to go 10-0 against that. And if they do, then we're talking three, four, five, maybe. I don't know. You know, given, you know, what happens in the Pac-12 tournament against UCLA, we will see. Oregon has a, you know, the story is yet to be told on them. That makes it a 8-9 makes a lot of sense for them.
Well, but Rocco, let me ask you a question. Is there any movement to get the UCLA and or USC games rescheduled that they've lost both those series?
Yeah, good question. I think that they are doing their best to work that out. In fact, by the end of the show, I'll let you know if it's already set. But
they're definitely
trying to get it worked out. They have 2 weeks worth of games to make up. But what they're doing is they're doing these wraparound series where they're going to play Mondays and Tuesdays. So they'll be playing 3-game weeks instead of the traditional Pac-12 2-game weeks.
Okay, so hopefully we'll get to see some Oregon USC and Oregon UCLA games this year. We lost. Yeah. Both of Oregon shutdowns were coincidentally right on those weeks. So
good job, Rocco, working on getting that together. That's what Rocco does.
Let's go to the 10 line. We'll see some potential matches for the 7 seeds here. And we see there Clemson against San Diego State, our second Mountain West team, USC against Maryland, which I want to discuss in a moment here, Florida against UConn, and Minnesota against the Bonnies. John, let me ask you about this. Are you with the consensus here that of these four teams on the 10 line?
I still think you have Maryland a little high. I know they're good. I know they're trending in the right direction. I have them in the field, or I will by next Sunday, but I still think that they're a little high. As far as the line itself, I'm still confused about the Bonnies. Like, just we need more, not just meat on the bone, we need more games on the schedule, and they'll get there. But I think right now, even if they are as good as a 10 seed, which I think they are, I just don't know for sure because of the lack of games.
Right.
They need games. They need out of conference games.
David, I want to ask you and Rocco also about this Maryland team. David, you had them higher than anybody, I think, wearing white. Where both Titel and Rocco both had them, I believe, actually outside of the first four, even not even in the field with that 9-8 overall D1 record and all those losses. So I'll let you defend why they're in. Then Rocco say why they're out.
Okay, well, look at where they top out at Illinois, at Wisconsin, at Minnesota, the only team that's won there, and maybe the only team that's won at some of those other places. And then, yeah, the eight losses, Michigan twice, one line. Iowa, protected seed, at least according to you all. Purdue, really good at home, whiskey protected seed. So when you look at it, they have three losses to teams that are not protected seeds and four wins against teams that are – excuse me, three wins against teams that are, another against a really good Purdue team. And you know what? I can't help but think, Head, this has been a normal year where they had played three or four bye games. Everyone would be like, oh, yeah, Maryland, they belong way up there. So that's my defense for that.
Rocco, at some point you got to win some games, though, don't you?
Yeah, and I agree with what David. I agree with David's argument for inclusion. And until I hear a selection committee member actually say that they are going to include a team that is only one game over 500 in D1, I'm not counting the Wingate game. I don't know if anybody else is, but I'm not. So they're currently 9-8. To me, the Big Ten's pretty straightforward. You got the same problem with Indiana. We'll talk about them, I'm sure. If they're one game or at 500, I'm not putting them in. If they are two over, then they clearly have the body of work to do it, and they're probably getting seeded ninth or 10th. They're not in the first four. I don't see any Big Ten team going to the first four because of that. I think they're either in a 9 or 10 or out. So that's
I like that logic here. Joby, real quick, the Bonnies, your thoughts on them?
Yeah, it's what John referred to, just a lack of data points. But with the data points we have, they performed except for the Rhode Island loss, you know, obviously, they performed what they need to do to be in this field. So I'm looking forward to seeing them play more than five games, because I'll tell you, if they only wind up with five games, it's just hair pulling out, and a loss means they're in deep, deep trouble. So they need to fill it out. But if they run the table, you know, if they run the table with those five and the A-10 at an out-of-conference game or an A-10 extra pickup game, such as the Richmond game that got canceled, then all of a sudden you wake up and they're 17-1 and you go, well, that's a team not even just at the 10 line. At that point, I think we're very seriously saying the 6, you know, the 6-5-4 line at that point. So in the field – to TBD, it's kind of not quite a, you know, it's even worse than what I said about Oregon on an unfulfilled resume, but there's a lot of TBD, but okay, right now, definitely in.
Let's pull up the 11 seeds here. We got Colorado State coming in, another Mountain West team, Stanford against Oklahoma State, UCLA, Indiana, Purdue, North Carolina.
Committee.
David, you want to speak? Go ahead.
Oh, well, I just think that, like, I think that we're really missing out on a team that's really good, and that's Loyola Chicago.
Well, David, we have not completed the field yet, first of all. There's still four more at-large spots left, so.
Okay. I mean, I know Stanford winning tonight. I just think that they're straddling the bubble a little too much. I had a couple of under-the-radar teams ahead of Stanford and North Carolina. I like Indiana and Colorado State, though.
In Indiana, for example, I think they've got Rocco, like you said, they have that same problem. John, do you agree with Rocco here? This nine and eight problem for Indiana, much, and they've got an even worse loss than what Maryland had.
Indiana's problem is that they can't beat Illinois, as we saw the other day. As far as their game against UCLA, if you like college basketball history, you got to like UCLA and Indiana.
Yeah, that. There are some real fun in matchups actually there on that 6-11 line from the projected bracket.
Indianapolis.
Let's go ahead and begin the first four here. I'm going to show you the first game of the first four here. It's Florida State's opponent, the winner of a game between Seton Hall and LSU.
Oh, come on, guys.
Rocco, do you think LSU belongs in?
I had them as the second to last team in, and it was tough. I mean, they're 500 against the top three. I think they're 7-7 against the top three quadrants. They just haven't had the really bad knockout punch to a bad team, but every time they play a good team, they get – I mean, Alabama's embarrassed them twice, and they've had some other rough ones. And now their loss to St. Louis looks really bad, so that's not helping either. So yeah, there's a lot of work to do for the Tigers. They're not safe or even close to safe.
I'll tell you, the next team up that got in, it actually was an auto bid winner. They'd be Kansas's opponent, and that's Western Kentucky. Got in above the list, okay, of our final two teams.
So to clear this up, Western Kentucky is inside the bubble. They're kind of sandwiched in between the first four teams.
Exactly.
Okay. Which is appropriate, as they are not, they do not have the best record in their conference right now. So it's kind of interesting. They could be.
UAB has, like, man, are they taking care of the fourth tier?
Let me just clarify. In terms of the auto bids, I gave the auto bid to the best team in each conference, not necessarily the team with the best record, which I think, especially with the very unbalanced doubleheaders that are going on this year, is probably even more appropriate than normal. Let me reveal the final two teams. This is West Virginia's opponent in the first round. And the matchup that we came up with was Loyola Chicago did make it in against Arkansas. I also want to clarify one more thing. The last two teams that were in according to the rankings were actually LSU and Arkansas. I had to flip LSU and Loyola Chicago's matchups so that LSU and Arkansas teams from the same conference were not playing each other in the first four games. Let's talk about Loyola Chicago and then Arkansas.
Who I like winning that one.
Joby, you did not even have Arkansas on your ballot.
Not Rocco, on the 55. They suck.
Rocco, you want to defend, Arkansas?
They haven't done jack. I mean, Arkansas hasn't done anything.
Yeah, I'm a big
– get rid of that Alabama win. There's no Alabama win in Arkansas's profile. How many – I mean, this is just ridiculous. Not even one win in the top three tiers. One. Come on, guys.
Well, it's more than that.
It's actually seven.
Yeah, Auburn, okay. They played him, Sharif Cooper was not healthy. They were not a tier one, even on the wacky away thing. They were a tier three type opponent without Sharif Cooper. They have done nothing. The only tournament team they've beaten is Abilene Christian. So, you know, no. This is just – yes, they don't have a.
I agree, Joby.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me get the counterpoint in Arkansas. John, yeah. why does Arkansas belong in this field?
Because they have four wins against top 75 net teams. I understand that all that Joby said, he makes a lot of good points, but Loyola does not have a single win against the top 100 net team, which is why they're 0-2 against the board. Not that 1-5 is much better, but 0-2 is not that impressive.
Exactly. If you go, my point on Arkansas is this: if you change the name Arkansas Razorbacks with the same profile here, but instead of having Arkansas Razorbacks up there, you had, Toledo Bradley. Rockets as the name.
Mm-hmm. Toledo's better than Arkansas.
But my point here is: this is the type of resume from a mid-major that we'd be screaming that this team belongs in the NCAA tournament. But it's almost an anti-bias against the SEC because you don't expect a resume like this from an SEC school.
Because an SEC school has opportunities and they haven't taken advantage of those opportunities.
They're going to get a trip to Missouri. They're going to get a home game with Florida. They're going to get a home
game with Alabama. If they win those.
They need to do it. And that's the thing is, if they do it, and they haven't yet. And so there are teams that we have left out of our field entirely, whether it's Loyola, Chicago, or others. That have done it. I mean, there's two teams. One that I'm actually surprised with recency bias, we do not have.
I'll tell you what. Before we go, actually, let me go ahead quickly finish up the 12 line here. This team was right below Arkansas, and it was Toledo. Just barely.
That is a good Toledo team. I think Toledo goes to the Sweet 16 out of that region.
Okay, but let's go ahead. I want to reveal the top four teams out before we go up to the 13 through 16 lines. And Joby, I'm sure that this is the team you're talking about. We had St. John's was the team that was closest to making the field off of a very recency bias off of the win over Villanova. You want to defend?
But it's not just that. They're on a roll. I mean, they're freaking. This is a new team. I know John on Monday said, Chip Bagney's not even the best. Chip Bagney is true. But oh my gosh, they're flying right now. They have wins over. Yeah, they have wins over the field. Marquette was in our field in mid-January, for goodness sakes. So I really don't have a big problem with the negatives here. And they do have positives that Arkansas can only dream about.
Rocco, maybe it was Richmond was the team that we should have put in.
Yeah, this is a fun one. Yeah, I put them in as my last team right now, and it was tough. There's a lot of things to not like about the rest of the options.
So, like the profile. Oh, go ahead.
Well, to me, like Richmond and VCU are about dead even, but Richmond's the redheaded stepchild of the two because they've got the two crazy losses to LaSalle and Hofstra. But again, that Loyola Chicago win is getting better with age, and that was on a neutral court in Indianapolis. And so you have that win. They've won at Kentucky, which never has gotten better, but it's still something. They've won at Davidson, and they've won seven times away from home. I'm looking at that, and I'm imagining that still matters. If it does, that stands out big time.
Yeah.
VCU, no wins against anybody that we put in the field here. I guess they do have one win against the field. I think that was because of an auto bid winner. They must have somewhere along the way there.
Maybe
it's the
JMU. North Carolina A&T.
I'm sorry. It's wins against the board. I think there were a couple of votes for Utah State. We haven't.
Yeah, yeah. No. The Utah State's a solid win, yeah. But it's. VCU I'd take VCU over Arkansas.
Here's the other thing too. Like St. Louis just fell off the map last night. So the way I'm thinking about it as well is by the end of the day, I think we got the Bonnies in, but if we don't take VCU or Richmond now, I think it's a little off weight to only say the A-10's a one bid league. I'm pretty sure they're going to get two some way, somehow.
Real quick, there were six other teams that at least got some votes. I think that there's a big drop off from St. John's, Richmond, maybe VCU to everybody else here. Georgia Tech, Utah State, Penn State, TCU, Syracuse, St. Mary's. excuse me, I was coughing. but I think when you look at that shows you that the bubble is pretty small this year that compared to prior years, especially at this point in time in the season, isn't it?
It feels that way, yeah. I don't know. Do we do this every year? Do we get to the point to where we're just sort of struggling to find teams?
I think that happens a couple weeks later than this, and that that we normally have about eight or a few more teams that are at least closer.
Yeah,
I think some teams will keep making moves out of nowhere. I mean, if we had this call last week or the week before, we would not even be thinking about St. John's. Now they're right. There's going to be two or three more teams like that we're not thinking about that are going to pull off big wins. All of a sudden, hey, their resume is not bad.
If Penn State goes on a roll, Penn State's biggest issue is not the depth. As Chad's been a cheerleader of Penn State. They're nowhere near because of their overall record.
Two games under 500 was my cutoff. We'll get back to one game under 500.
But here's the thing is, that they changed that, and as I remember, they have a Nebraska game. They have some home games against the middle of the conference. Penn State has a shot. Syracuse, Georgia Tech, they're in the ACC. You're going to have opportunities to pile up more. And I'm actually a little more open on the Georgia Tech because it's like they started off the season so weak with like the Mercer loss and Georgia State. But then they played better since, they beat that Clemson. One of the punishments of Clemson was them, but I think it has a lot to do with Georgia Tech as well. So, there are teams that have the chance to do good, and I think you're exactly right. You'll see a more St. John's of the world rise up, and that's not a good tale, by the way, for the Richmonds. VCU's, and if Arkansas continues to do what they've been doing, they'll go out and beat A&M and get their head bashed in by Missouri. That will not help Arkansas.
Quickly, John, your thoughts on who we put in top four teams out. Do you think we got it right then, or do you think St. John's is really as close as we have them at this point?
I actually like Richmond a little more, although the St. John's win was huge the other night. No, I think it's fine. I think that because, as you said, like the top two here are head and shoulders above the rest. I don't think the 12s are head and shoulders above St. John's Richmond. So I think we did good, but I could easily sub those in and sub two out.
All right. Let's go and quickly reveal the rest of the bracket here. Start with the 13 seeds. These are we have Iowa gets a very dangerous Belmont team. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin gets a one-loss Winthrop team. Vatek gets a tough, tough South Dakota State team. And Joby, your Virginia team gets the easiest game in the 13 line. They get Navy.
We are rifling through these, but Chad, we discussed all these teams on Under the Radar. If you want more in-depth analysis, isn't that right, Chad?
Exactly. 14 line, we got Abilene Christian, UC Santa Barbara, Liberty against Texas Tech, UNC Greensboro against Oklahoma. Again, not necessarily the first place teams in these conferences, but the teams that are either the best or playing the best, such as UCSB, not in first place, but so much
playing the best in Greensboro. But well, both UCSB and Greensboro coming to life after kind of stumbling all over the place out of the gate. But
and I think that Navy was going to fall down in the list here as those teams play better.
Because Colgate, I think, ends up popping in the Patriot. At the
I like Navy. Navy's good.
15 line, we got Siena against Houston. We got Northeastern against Texas. We got Wright State against Alabama.
That is a dangerous Wright State team. Oh,
when they decide to play. And the Lopes in against Villanova.
Oh, the Lopes getting above the 16 line. All right.
Here's our 16 line. Baylor gets the winner of a Morgan State Prairie View game. The Zags get a winner of a Montana State LIU Brooklyn game. Michigan
fun,
gets
Wolverines. It's so much fun playing.
Yes, UMBC. and Louisiana, their Sun Belt champion against Ohio State.
Cajuns, 16 over one. There it is.
Yeah, I like the way this Cajuns team is playing, but I also think they'll if they play keep playing the way they're playing right now, they're going to be above a 16 seed anyhow. But the
yeah, they
the
should.
Day,
be. They should be. I'd love to see that game.
That note, though, I want to run through each of you for either any other final thoughts about either this bracket, what we did, who we allowed in, or anything, any other issues you have at all that you want to discuss. Joby, let me start with you tonight.
Yeah, no, it was pointed out by one of our colleagues, I thought, and it's worth sharing with everybody, what has happened to teams that are so dominant offensively and number one in the country offensively, but have extremely weak or subpar defensive numbers that are 80 or above in the last 20 years. And there are seven such teams. And of those seven teams, two lost in the first round and four lost in the second round, and one was not invited. That is a bad, bad, bad sign for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And it's easy to pile on them given their awful defensive performance that actually cost them the game tonight. But I think that they, as hinted by a lot of this panel, are very ripe for an upset. If Iowa really does play Belmont, that might be a pretty good bet. you get really good odds on Belmont of the celebrity of Luka Garza. And I think Iowa should win that game. Most of the time, win that game. But I think Belmont will be punching above their weight in that particular game.
Yeah,
Belmont is a good defensive team. I don't know. I've been getting beaten up by everybody here all year long because I haven't been that big on Iowa. Thank you, Joby.
John.
So my final thought about the bracket is the 5-12 line. Everybody knows there's always a 5-12 upset. If we go back to 2019, the last time we had a tournament, we had Liberty over Mississippi State, we had Murray State over Marquette, and we had Oregon over Wisconsin. So the reason that happens is because you're playing teams like Mississippi State or Marquette or Wisconsin in those cases in 2019 that are average teams from power conferences with relatively inexperienced coaches. This year, I agree that some of these five seeds are underperforming, but we're talking Rick Barnes, Bob Huggins, Bill Self, Leonard Hamilton. Those are experienced coaches. I don't think any of them are losing to a 12 seed, even though Western Kentucky will have the best player on the floor in Charles Bassey and Seton Hall with Mamu, I would argue, but I don't like any of the 12 seeds to pull the upset. As far as my final thought outside the bracket, I just wanted to give a shout out. I haven't given a lot of Penn love this year, because they haven't played. But so I'm going to give a little love to Errol Penn. He's a junior forward at LIU tonight. Bad news, his team lost to Fairleigh Dickinson at home 78-70. The good news, his line, 33 points, 20 rebounds, 6 steals. That has not happened in the past decade and maybe forever. Amazing game by Errol Penn of LIU.
Real quick note here. I mentioned some of the games that are going on as we recorded this. Gonzaga did, as I'm sure everyone who's watching knows, end up blowing away Pacific in the second half to win that game. Rutgers beat Minnesota. Minnesota cannot win a road game. That may cause them in the next time we look at this to fall down even lower, but than the seven line. But Rocco, your thoughts?
Yeah, I would just take a quick glance at the 8-9. You've got it's funny, we had Rutgers and Oregon again. I've had that, I think, three different of my brackets as well, which is interesting because it's the Amaruri brothers against each other. I also
no relation. They don't even pronounce it the same way, but go ahead.
Well, it would be a fun storyline. And then we also have in the East, whatever it is, in Indianapolis, we would have a really good opportunity for Drake to make the Sweet 16, I think. Although Ohio State belongs on the one line, I think that's clear. They have the resume. If you watch them play, I think they're overachieving in a lot of ways, and this is probably their ceiling. If they can maintain this, amazing. If they end up at 2 or 3 seed line, that actually wouldn't surprise me. So if you're an 8 or 9, you definitely want to be in Ohio State's bracket, in my opinion, and that would give Drake the best chance there to get to the Sweet 16. Overall, I think one of the most challenging things throughout the bracket at this point is not only do we have all the demolition upsets to last night that created chaos, but also, you know, I think the real challenge the committee is going to have regardless is if these comparing these teams with longer shutdowns like your Oregon and your UConn's and your Michigan's and trying to compare that against a team with a full body of work. How are they going to look at that? How are they going to judge that? So the more information we can pull from them, Tytel, I'm looking forward to your interview coming up with Mitch Barnhart. The better we can would do with this exercise, but it's going to be fascinating in an unprecedented year.
Absolutely. David, you want to finish the show off?
Real quick to kind of build on what Tytel said, I think he's right as to like why some of the 5 seeds aren't ready for the 12s. I also think in your given year that the 12 seeds are actually teams that are better than what's on their resume, but because of their conference affiliation, they don't have a chance to build it up. I oftentimes look at the 12 line, and I'm doing it now, and I'm like, well, when I look at teams on the 11 line and on the 10 line and even on the 9 line, I think the 12 seeds can beat them. So I think that there's two reasons why that happens and why it happened 3 times the last time we had a tournament and almost happened a 4th. New Mexico State had Auburn on the ropes, really had them on the ground with their foot on their neck, but just couldn't pull it out. Couldn't make a layup that would have in Auburn ended up being a Final Four team. New Mexico State almost really should have beaten them in the round of 64, but not to go off on that tangent. A couple of under the radar teams to keep your eye on. Of course, Drake, who I guess technically isn't under the radar because now they're in the rankings. This Toledo team is on fire. Like, I mean, they are really, really good, probably better than a 12 seed, but their paper and their resume would put them on the 12 line. Belmont, really good. They do have one loss to Samford, which is a bit inexplicable, but have beaten everyone else and looking really good, too. And in Loyola Chicago, one of the best defensive teams in the country, not just on under-the-radar standards, but period. Like, you know, they're better than Iowa. Their defense is better than Iowa. It is that good.
And they're one of the best offensive teams in the country, too. They have some of the best metrics out there. And if you went by metrics, Loyola Chicago probably be at about the 4 line, maybe the 3 line.
Really dangerous team.
But on that note, though, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We will go ahead and put the final bracket down below here. If you looked at it before we started the show, you just completely ruined it. It'll also be on the Bracketology tab. But on behalf of David Griggs, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, got their sides mixed up, Joby Fortson, John Tytel, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you again real soon. And we're still going here.
We're still going. All right.
Let's figure out something. Now we'll talk to you again real soon.